Hey everyone, welcome to episode 4000 of the Challenge Rehab Up podcast. My name is Allie Lasher, and no, you're not accidentally listening to the Are You the One podcast. I am bringing the show in today because Brian has called in Yankees fan, and in his place, we have an extra special guest dug up from the archives of my Survivor life, bringing in fellow Max Dawson class alumni, Jonathan Foreman. Jonathan, what's going on?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you. A couple weeks ago, I talked to you about possibly coming on the show. I didn't realize how soon.
When you told me that, I like had internal somersaults. I didn't, I didn't express it. Like I tried to say very stoic. It's like, yes, this would be very cool to be on the podcast, but I'm not very excited because that would be weird. But I'm so happy to be here.
Excitement will do you well here. So happy to hear you're excited. Happy to have you on. Let's give you a little intro. Is this the first time you're on a podcast on
of
RHAP?
Of any kind. Of any kind. I'm a newbie.
I have a great history of introducing people on their rookie season to having great feedback and great careers on the podcast. So
let's not hype it up too much.
I'm like the Simon Cowell of podcasting here.
Okay. Good.
So introduce yourself. I gave a brief introduction of you. I'm sure you don't love being introduced only by having participated in Max's class.
Yeah. So, whatever. I'm Jonathan Foreman. I'm a longtime reality TV watcher. I started watching The Real World like in San Diego, which was when I was 13 or 14 or something like that. But I'm part of the RHAP. I'm a patron. I do all that sort of stuff. You've actually followed a really similar life path to me. We met at Northwestern in the Max class, but then I went off and I went to Michigan, and I still live in Michigan. I'm a lawyer now. I live and work in Detroit, and it's awesome. And I'm really happy to be here. Like I've said a million times already.
Yeah, I just wanted to see how you would test things out, and then it seemed to work out. So I followed 100 years after.
That's right.
All right, so let's kick into gear with episode 14 here. You're joining us on what will become an iconic episode, but we were just coming off the heels of what I said last week was the best episode that I've podcasted about in 5 to 6 seasons of podcasting about the challenge. What have you thought overall of the season before we get into this episode?
So I think it's a really good season, but I kind of think they're doing too much. So it's been really strong on the drama, and the challenges have been really good, and the structure's decent, but I feel like with the Redemption House and with the double cross, like there's too much going on, which we've seen in every episode, that there's just too much happening to fit an episode of TV into an episode until this week, where we actually had a full episode start to finish, which was crazy. But between everything that they're doing, it's just they're doing too much. And I think that the format of the show has kind of struggled as a result, but they're still putting out a good product, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a good assessment. Like if it's hard for just like the layman who's not podcasting or is not in a reality TV community about the show to follow what's going on week to week, you're probably suffering from too much, as you said, but they have made these episodes entertaining. Ironic. It's only that you pointed out to me that I am now recognizing that this was a normal traditional episode and I'm saying it wasn't that good.
Well, I was happy to be back to the default. So I thought it gets so many brownie points in my mind just because of that.
That's fair. I should think. I think because it started out with the Redemption House, I'm a little, bias against it. Yeah, let's talk about this. You mentioned you're a big Real World fan. How did you like this little Real World spinoff brought to you by Jemmy?
Well, I think that anything Jemmy says in a confessional is gold, but I didn't need this. I feel like I'm being really negative already. Like I'm starting off my podcasting career and saying how much like the season is junk, but it's not. But I think that I didn't need this. I didn't need to know that CT is stinky and that Leroy's the favorite except for Jemmy. I didn't need any of that. It just felt like time filler in an episode that really didn't need it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You're never being too negative. I've already said I hated this episode, but It is crazy that like all of Jemmy's, and I love Jemmy, but all of her like little taglines were the same. So it's like, everyone loves Jemmy. Everyone loves Leroy. CT smells. Anise is everyone's best friend, which means everyone loves her. She nailed it, though, on Dario.
I thought so, too, because Dario not having any camera time is exactly how this season played out. Not just the Redemption House, but the entire season. And that was great.
I don't know if Jemmy dreamt that or if she just like is really intuitive from having been on so many times.
That's right. She just knew.
But it does seem like Jemmy has, understandably so, like lost her focus. I mean, what focus do you really need? But she's just living it up in the Redemption House. The Redemption House is nostalgic for her. She welcomes the next crop of people, saying it's like the best house ever, if it's any consolation. Kara is the one not losing focus. She's bitter as hell, and she's not going to let anyone forget that she's pissed and she's coming back.
She's angry. She is. She is. Angry, and it's like, get over it.
Yeah, Kara doesn't like process complex emotions. It's just like one track mind.
That's right.
Quick, swift transition from the Redemption House to the challenge. A very like sort of classic when they're in a city challenge, find a big skyscraper and throw him up there. Did you like Backstabber?
I thought I'm never big on like these height challenges, mostly because I hate heights and I could never even like fathom doing something like that. But there was no drama because there were multiple heats and they were done so quickly. And again, I'm here being negative. Look what I just did again. Wow.
Don't point it out. Like last week, out that I say I will say is the stupidest thing I ever did.
All right. From now on, I'm only going to be positive. And by that, I mean, I'm not going to point out that I'm being negative anymore.
It's a trick. You'll fool everyone.
That's what I'll go for. Okay.
Yeah, I think they added like a bit more interest to the normal height challenge. I agree with you. I, like Brittany, am afraid of heights, although I don't think I'd rather eat bugs than.
That's true. Heights. Same.
But they added some interest with the three X's or two X's, depending on how many people were in the heat. When you get to the edge, it's not enough to be the first one there, but you have to pick an X to drop someone from the ledge. Do you think this paid off?
Well, there were huge. Yeah. So there were huge stakes, which was it ended up obviously being very important to getting there first and then making a choice or in Camilla's choice. Or Camilla's circumstance, not making a choice and just hitting whatever was closest. So I thought that for what they were going for, it worked.
Yeah, I don't know that people made that informed of decisions. They all had three X's though, right? So if you accidentally hit your own, could you drop yourself?
Like, I think that's right. Yeah,
that would have been great.
That would have been great TV. A+.
Yeah, I also kind of was confused, and maybe it's just me because I'm oft confused. It's actually funny when Brian's not going to be on the show, I have to remind myself to pay closer attention to the challenge because I usually just punt that to him. So the two people who win both heats, mm-hmm. Let's try again. The man and the woman who wins the heat, who has the best time of the two heats. That's correct. Finally. That wasn't even what I was trying to explain. I thought it would be difficult.
You did a great job explaining it, though.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome back anytime. So they drop some with the X. Of the dropped players, those are the only one in contention to go straight to Redemption. Then of the people who drop and just aren't the winners, any of them go to the Presidio and are up to be put in by the winners or double crossed.
So I think it was anybody except for the winner. So including the person who won the non-winning heat was, so, you know, Hunter and somebody else won the men's heats, right? So
no, but Derek won that.
Right. So I think that Derek was eligible to go into the Presidio.
Right, right. So only okay. Right. So the man and female, male and female winner. See, it's confusing. It was confusing.
Yeah, when you have to explain this much, and even two people that were paying attention, I took really good notes on this episode. Even when two people who were paying attention can't really get it, it seems like it's too much, which is a common complaint.
I appreciate being validated like that because I was like, "Am I stupid?" And I just had to watch how it played out, and I was like, "Okay, like don't question it, just go with it."
Right.
But so I was a little bit surprised to see that they were bringing back the straight to the Redemption House. Were you or some, we had a question about this. Let me not ask all the questions here. Will Simon says, was it anti, and Will, get back to me. Should I start calling you Will from America like Rob does? I like that. Let me know. Was it anticlimactic for I guess it's not normal to take an aside to one listener during the podcast.
Hit us up, or Allie specifically.
Was it anticlimactic for a 10-second challenge to determine two people going straight into Redemption House?
Yes. That is the one word answer. It's just yes. Like, there's not much more I can provide on top of that. It was,
pretend you're getting paid by the word here, Jonathan. Let's
so it was a nothing challenge. It was a nothing challenge at all. And it has such great power. When the last time there was a Straight to Redemption, there was like a 3-part challenge where you like had to break through the wall and then whatever else they had to do, put the puzzle together. But this time it's just like, yeah, if you walk really fast, you can send someone straight to redemption.
And it is interesting that we go back to the sort of first challenge model where only one person ultimately gets to be the decider. Although even that had a team component originally. So one person, I guess two people, but really it seemed like it was the man picked the man, the women picked the women. Challenge. Only one person held really the power, as opposed to having sort of more protection by having four people have to come or five people have to come to a consensus. So that was a little strange. I was just more surprised than anything to see that they even brought this straight to redemption back. I thought this was a one-time thing last week.
I think they should have kept it as a one-time thing. I agree.
Okay, do you think too many people left the house this week?
I think, I mean, all of a sudden we went from 11 to 7. And it's like, wait a minute, there's a final three all of a sudden for the men? Obviously, one or two people are coming back. But it was just so sudden. It was like, how did Tony make it this far? How did that happen all of a sudden?
Yeah, there were a lot of episodes now looking back on the season as a whole, which we basically have a full season in 14 episodes. like there were other, if this is how we were going to start cutting people at the end, there were other places I feel like they could have put these eliminations to add more interest throughout the season rather than at the end, just kind of like slaughtering the best players.
Exactly. Because they keep losing their best people in these challenges, which is how Tony and Hunter are still here, because they're not the biggest fish, right? So there's you're not going to waste, you can send someone straight to the Redemption House on someone who you think you can beat in an elimination round.
Although Hunter has been, look, I almost said it and I didn't. Hunter has been safe both times. He's been the fair decider. And I do think if he were up for grabs, anyone but Tony would have made that pick.
That's fair.
Maybe not over CT in the first one, but in this one-on-one situation, it's when everything could fall to you, you might want to pick Hunter.
That makes sense, yeah.
And he's scary. He's a beast.
I know you guys have talked about this in the past. I don't need to rehash the that ground. But
impressed by Hunter?
Oh no! He is scary looking. That's all I meant. Don't need to talk about anything that might make him look scary specifically.
Gotcha. Yeah, we want to avoid all potential dangers.
We'll just talk in innuendo. It's good.
All right. So after a very confusing process, although I did like how Hunter and Camilla picked the heats live, how TJ's just like on the spot, let's see it, do it now. We have Kayla, Jenna, and Tori, then Veronica, Brittany, and Camilla. Some people were up in arms that Camilla should have disperse Kayla and Jenna so that she would have had a shot either time. Do you think this was the right move for Camilla, or should she have made a different order?
No, I think Camilla made the right move, because the way the house is broken down among the girls right now, or at that point, she had the two weakest girls who weren't in her alliance, who she could go up against. And it was basically a guaranteed win for her, I feel like. And then you could put the three girls who are in alliance, and that gives you the opportunity, if you win, to send one of them home automatically. So I felt like that was the right move on Camilla's part.
I agree completely. I think this was, I didn't even second guess it. I was all prepared to like work out all the scenarios, and then I just wrote logical move.
Yeah.
And I think same for Hunter.
Oh, I disagree.
Oh, tell me, this is Jonathan told me his hashtag take, so this please interrupt.
So with the way that Hunter did it, he put it, he has his alliance with Tony, and it's just him and Tony. And by putting him and Tony up against each other, he guaranteed that one of them were going to be in the two that were dropped and eligible to go straight to the Redemption House. And so if you're Hunter, what you have to be thinking is, if I'm going to win this challenge outright, I'm going to win. And so I want to make sure that that Tony is not in danger, right? So if one of the guys on the other side is going to win in the other heat, I want to be in a position where I can drop someone who is in their alliance. And I want to keep Tony safe no matter what. So if I were Hunter, I would have put myself up against whoever I feel is the weakest of those three. Now, admittedly, there's not an obvious choice of who's the weakest among Johnny, Derek, and Jordan. But I still feel like he put himself in a position where if he had come in second place, if he had been the lesser winner, if that makes any sense, he was making it so that his only alliance member was automatically going home.
That's a good point, something I didn't think about. I will say it's really a question of whether Hunter really trusts Tony or not. I think we're getting this like clear story that they're arm in arm skipping down the road, but which would be hilarious to see. But I don't know how much, like, I think at this point, Hunter's just got to take the weakest guy, whether he's in his alliance or not, and go to try to win. I get what you're saying, that like if he beats Tony but still loses to the guy of the other heat, that doesn't really do him much good. But the other thing that maybe is worth considering is this is another opportunity to force Johnny, Jordan, and Derek to pick allegiances where Hunter and Tony are not an option.
Yeah, that's and a good point.
It's a way that they have to display like little cracks that Hunter can, not that there's anything small about Hunter, but that he can sort of like Jimmy into and try to like stay under the radar to a certain extent and develop those cracks. Except the biggest crack of all seems to be in Hunter's hand. We didn't really get any explanation besides Derek suggesting that he broke his wrist about how injured Hunter really is.
Yeah, there was zero payoff there. And it's, I guess none of these challenges in this episode involved using your hands, really, besides, I guess, like you could use a club to hit the X. But there was zero payoff to what was going on there. And they even put it in the previously on montage. I was like, oh, we're going to get something this episode, and then nothing.
Yeah, and this is going to have huge consequences moving forward. I guess it just, Hunter really caught a break here, no pun intended this time.
Zing!
that he did, like, one of the only challenges possible where this wouldn't affect him.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, moving forward, I guess we'll see what happens. I assume he can't swim, which will be a big point for Cara Maria. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens moving forward.
Are you saying because he doesn't have use of his hand, or because you're suggesting his cast is not waterproof?
That one, that his cast is not waterproof. I thought you're not allowed to swim in a cast. I don't know. I don't like water.
I have some expertise on this. I broke my arm in third grade. And for the, you know, before the summer, it was on for a while. I had a non-waterproof cast. But then it was coming summertime, and you can't tell an 8-year-old not to swim in the summer. They do make waterproof casts. I don't know that he has one, but okay. That was a long self-indulgent anecdote to just say you can swim in certain casts.
All right.
But I don't think, like, it weighs you down. You can't swim well.
Yeah, I don't know if we know how. This is a total tangent because we don't even know if there's going to be water in any future challenges, but I don't even know if Hunter can swim to begin with. I don't think we've seen him do that. Unless we have, and I just am not a good challenge historian.
If Jordan can speculate that there's going to be swimming in the challenge when he disses Caro, we could speculate that there's going to be swimming in the challenge.
And that's the new rule. That sounds good.
Yeah. If Jordan can do it, you could do it. So Derek, speak those cracks that form. Derek drops Jordan, and we have Jordan saying, like, I'm going to get you back or whatever. Do you feel like this is a real threat, or Jordan's just going to take it like it was a third, a third, and a third, whoever hit the X, whatever?
I thought Jordan was being sarcastic when he said it. I thought it was like very joking and like, I don't actually mean what I'm saying. I'm just yelling something up at you. But that was my takeaway. Did you have a different one?
No, I agreed. It definitely didn't seem like when Jordan is actually upset at someone, which we see later in the episode. But yeah, I thought this was tongue in cheek. Derek seems to get away with declaring that he's closest to Bananas without any consequence. Not that that ends up helping him any. But okay, so Hunter beats Derek. I can't believe I was actually cheering for Hunter. Like, I never thought there'd be a day where I would be rooting for Hunter.
I had the same exact reaction. Like, I don't mind. I actually like Derek. I like Jordan. I don't like Johnny. Well, that's fine. But I just, you know, if it had gone down to Johnny, Derek, Jordan, and Tony, that just would have been incredibly boring for the rest of this episode.
Agreed. We need Hunter to have a season right now, basically, which is what a co-host of mine might have said about Bananas a couple seasons ago. But look where we're at.
Yeah.
while the cat's away. So, yeah. So then the women's heat. Let's talk about that. Jenna, Kayla, Tori. Jenna wins, drops Tori. No surprise.
Go ahead. No surprise at all, except Kayla. For the second straight time, when Jenna took a certain action, started apologizing. And she needs to not do that. That is bad for Kayla. Anyway.
That is very strange. No, I'm really glad you pointed that out, because I noticed that, but I didn't mark it down. It is very strange. Like, they are really acting like, you know, they're acting completely in tandem.
Yes. And, I mean, obviously, they're not, it's not, there's no need to hide it, but you didn't make the move. Just like last week when Jenna sent in Camilla into the whatever it's called, you weren't the one who made the move. So why are you apologizing on her behalf? Let her apologize on her behalf.
It's also going to screw her, because look at who Kara is sitting and like stewing over her cauldron over in the Redemption House is Kayla. She's not saying shit about Jenna.
Right.
And Camilla might be all gassed up against Jenna, but she's even blaming Tori. Like, Jenna is Teflon here, and Kayla is helping that. And at the end of the day, it could easily come down to someone having to save one of the three of them, and Kayla's the easiest target to go out.
Mm-hmm. I think that's totally right.
Great, great point. Great catch. Then Camilla, Brittany, and Veronica. Camilla taking the tactic of giving her the two weakest opponents. But were you surprised that she hits Veronica's ex? I mean, Camilla seems surprised.
Well, so we don't know anything about Brittany. Like, later in the final challenge, Brittany was rooting for, or, you know, Brittany wanted to see Camilla take down Kayla. So I didn't know that Brittany and Camilla were close. I guess we're not really getting any Camilla story in this season anyway. Well deserved. So it makes sense to me that Veronica, who's being cast as this kind of wild card by the rest of the house, would be the one to go down, but that didn't make me any less sad about it.
Yeah, it was. I was actually surprised to see that Camilla did that, quote unquote, by accident. That Camilla's like, I didn't mean to hit Veronica's ex. It just like did what I did and I saved Brittany, whatever. I would have thought that Camilla would have been going straight for Veronica based exactly
right
on what you said.
Yeah.
So Camilla once again falls ass backwards into a good position. I do love that Veronica calls it the Redemption Home.
I didn't even catch that, but that's great.
She's like, seems like I'm likely to go to the Redemption Home. It's just dying. All right. So talking about some of the big decisions made by the great and powerful Hunter and Jenna, a lot of power given to just those two folks. And I just made myself sound 100 by saying folks. Hunter votes Jordan. I want to say no surprise between Tony or Jordan.
That's the move he has to make. You know, he has some semblance of trust with Tony, and he has nothing with Jordan. Jordan has sent him in twice. So that's 100% the right move on his part.
Were you surprised that Jenna didn't try to push it to a tie to see what would happen?
I wasn't, just because Jenna needed Hunter's vote for the second one to make sure that Tori stayed. So if you know, it's a kind of like a game of Russian roulette in that sense, where if you take this risk, then the other person is just going to come right back at you. That's not Russian roulette at all. I don't know why I said that, but anyway, I thought the right call to not push her luck.
No, that makes a lot of sense, to me. Sorry, I'm dying. So then Jenna votes Veronica. Hunter sadly votes Veronica. This to me did take away the joy that I immediately felt from Camilla losing this challenge, was that, oh, now Veronica's going home.
Yes, absolutely.
What's
but
the course,
but we also knew it because of what we knew was coming through the rest of the episode. So I thought there was no drama there at all because we had all these previews of the Camilla Tori fight. So of course Veronica's going home. Tori can't be going.
Damn it. You're brilliant. That's why I never pay attention to anything. And then everything is new and exciting. Fair point. Veronica heads out, and I'm sure after the Redemption House happens, we will discuss, Brian and I will discuss all of the people that will be hemorrhaged from the house, purged from the house. But for now, as Veronica sashays away, what was your feeling on Veronica's return to the challenge?
I was so happy to see her back. I mean, it's like I said, I've been in these shows for the long haul. I don't think I watched her original Road Rules season, but she was one of actually the ones who I didn't like and when she was on initially. But it's so nice, like the sense of nostalgia to see someone like her come back after all these years, someone like Derek come back after all these years away from the show. For her to make an impact on the game on top of it all was great.
Yeah, it is interesting. I'm running into these conversations with some of my friends here. Like, oh yeah, I podcast on the challenge. Like, oh, that show's still on. I used to love it. Like, I wouldn't know anyone. And I'm like, oh, actually, like Darrell, Derek, Veronica, Banana, CT, like they're all still there. They're back. And it always piques their interest when you get to Veronica or any of them. So I definitely see like the marketing grab to get some of those old people back to tickle our nostalgia bones. That doesn't make sense. As you were saying, the people who are already watching the show and even to have new audiences learn Veronica. I think she's been great. I expect to see her back. Hope to see her back. So good on Veronica. And the last few episodes really came alive there.
Totally. Exactly. You hit the nail on the head there.
And I'm more hesitant to sort of discuss the end of Jordan because I think it's more up in the air. Although let's get to the redemption stuff later because okay. We got a sneak peek of next week. So maybe Veronica will be joining us sooner than I think. I lost my notes there scrolling down to see something. Okay. I'm super professional. So we go right to the redemption house, the redemption home, and see Veronica and Jordan check in and confront the very two people that Jordan and Veronica had a hand in sending home.
And Cara Maria is not happy. I don't know if that was in this segment because there were so many redemption house segments this time around, but Cara Maria is not happy.
Yeah, at first it seems like CT also might be unhappy because he says like, oh, Jordan set the tone to then get him to be the one to be sent in. Like he's the one who established it being these big power moves instead of alliances. But that's really the end of CT's like any slight bitterness. He's more just sort of like, you got yours.
Yeah.
But Kara's pissed.
And CT's totally right that Jordan set this tone, but someone had to set the tone first. And they were down to, at the time that the tone was set, they were down to very few people who weren't power players. I just put power players in quotes. You can't see that because this is an audio format. And I'd rather make the move first than be the one sitting in the redemption house because someone made the move on me.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I think CT, like, ultimately sees that it's just sort of like his one little bump in the road,
his one little jab.
Yeah, everyone's gonna take some time, but we have to talk about this because Jordan, forget jabs, Jordan pulls no punches. This is sort of, I think, the scene of the night between Jordan and Kara, where Jordan says no one would want to run a final with her. All of the guys, names besides CT, would prefer to run with Camilla than Kara.
Yeah, you burnt. That's all I got to say to that. you can tell she's devastated. And I think Jemmy really hit the nail on the head here when she said, this is Cara Maria's livelihood, right? So it's like, this is literally her job. I went back and did some research, some really crack research on this. And since Cara Maria's debut on Fresh Meat 2, which was, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, she's only missed one season. And I think that was, I don't want to speculate why she missed that season, but she's only missed one season since then. And so like, this is literally like someone walks into your job, like we're both lawyers. Like someone walks into your job and takes all your clients, except what Kara doesn't realize, or she should realize, but she doesn't, is that she's not, you know, this isn't like a real job. This is like, you're a poker player. Not to say poker player is not a real job, but it's like you're about.
It's not a 9-to-5,
right? This is a job that's a game, and people are going to try to win the game, even if it messes with your money.
Yeah, that was really generous of you to say that I'm a lawyer, but thank you.
You will be eventually, hopefully.
Hopefully,
we'll see.
Knock on microphone. But was part of your crack research that Cara Maria tweeted a couple weeks ago, "I literally only care about my horses working out and eating dessert"? Like, you're right. She doesn't do anything else with the challenge.
She tweeted what?
You heard me.
Okay.
So I agree. I loved, as you mentioned, the way that Jemmy sets this up. Like, he insulted her on the highest level. And I just think it was untrue. I think this is more coming from Jordan's defensiveness that he put her there. Now he's there. Like, Jordan sucks as a person and like gets into these like weird places where he does these like hyper honest diatribes that are actually just bullshit because he just can't like stop defending himself. Jennifer Jones says, "Why would the guys want to run a final with Camilla over Kara?" Do you think there's any truth to that claim?
I think there was no truth to that claim at all. But if he wanted to get under her skin, he picked the exact right way to do it. So he's got that going for him.
Yeah, it got under my skin too. So good for Jordan. But I didn't have access to his bag to float. Kara goes, grabs his bag, sends it on like a Viking funeral into this tiny little pool and causes no damage, except to maybe her reputation. Haley Strong wants to know, who's pettier, Camilla or Kara?
So when I first saw that comment, I'll get to the answering eventually. When I first saw that comment, I thought she said, who's prettier? And I was like, I am the wrong person to comment on this. Like, I am not here for that question. Don't ask that. But then I said I thought it was pettier, and that was answerable. And the answer to who's pettier is obviously Camilla, because, you know, we know what Camilla is. Not that we don't know, because it's not on the TV show, but we know.
We see you, Camilla.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's funny you say that. I thought it said who's prettier too, also. And Haley often points out to me, like, the more like sexist comments and questions I get, like, oh, can't wait to hear you answer that, like, knowing I'm not going to pull it. So I thought she was like making a joke in the question thread. But no, then I saw it was also pettier. I will say, yeah, Camilla's, but I hate Camilla. That's no, I could go on and do a show every week about it. And I will later this episode. But for now, It was pretty damn petty. Not the bag thing, whatever. We've seen worse. We've seen actual clothes in the water. We've seen toilet seats in the pool. This waterproof bag, and really only teed up an Under Armour product placement. So good for everyone involved in the show.
That was good work by Jordan to get that plug in there.
Yeah. The pettiest moment of this scene for me was Kara insisting that Jordan spend a night on the couch as penance, as though he's some like in some weird, dare I say, Abram and Kara-esque relationship.
Yikes.
of this like weird power dynamic. Like, Kara somehow thinks she has the authority to demand that Jordan sleep on the couch.
Yeah, and both aspects, both the bag and the couch, is just like, Kara, get over yourself. Please just get over yourself.
A desperate plea from this podcast to Kara.
That's
right. Totally agree. This whole scene, though, gave me hives because Jordan's just as petty. He, like, makes up these rules. Like, I have seniority because I sent her here. Like, he actually believes that.
Yeah, I have written in my notes, Jordan says he has more say, hyphen, also get over yourself.
Yeah, it's like they both needed, I think, a piping hot bowl of Redemption House you'd think check their egos, but really it's just like a battle of the egos between the two of them.
Yep, that's right.
And then just when you think Kara might be more pettier, you get Camilla weeping at Jenna's feet.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing... I have a Camilla take.
Let's get it.
Okay. So, Camilla is, I'm going to use a really technical term here. TV character Camilla is a garbage person. And as I think we're seeing in the world recently, when you're a garbage person, the amount of garbageness that people are willing to put up with is directly proportional to the amount of value you provide to them. Not, and them being people who are not being victimized by the garbage person, right? So when Camilla and Kara, especially when they were together, when they were together in this house, they were untouchable because you don't want those, they're the two best female competitors in the house. You don't want them going after you. You don't want to do anything to them. But once Kara is gone and once Camilla is vulnerable and everyone else is aligned except for Camilla, you no longer provide value to anybody in this house. So your garbageness is now on blast. And no one's going to hesitate to call you out because you can't give them anything anymore.
I think that's a scorching take. That really does explain why Camilla got no punishment for her actions with Leroy. And now, like, she's still not getting it, but now she's getting voted in. Now she's getting shunned. Now she's not in anyone's alliance anymore because, yeah, on her own, when you have a pretty tight alliance and you're not the only strong girl in the house, nobody needs you.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. And I actually did some more of my crack research. These last two times that Camilla went in were actually her first two times eligible since her blow up at Nelson, which she had won every challenge since then. So maybe she would have gone in earlier. Probably not, because it seemed like it had really totally blown over until she started making everyone else's life miserable.
That is true. And I'm wondering if the players are actually saying to Camilla, like calling her out more generally than, you know, Jen in the confessional, basically just saying, like, I don't want to be her friend anymore. But like, they're like, what happened in the house? Like, oh, she takes, Tori's saying she takes like these personal insults. They're not really addressing it head on. And I wonder if that's an editing decision as opposed to actually people in the house not saying anything to her about it.
Yeah, the only thing we got is that Tori said, you say derogatory things to people. That was the strongest take we got about what actually happened in the house. And I just don't know why MTV is protecting her. Like, I get that she's one of your valuable assets, I guess, as a character on this show. She, another crack research point, this is my last crack research point. She has been on every season since she debuted on that stupid spring break thing. So, like, she needed to be protected by MTV, I guess, for some reason, in their mind. But she, no, you don't protect that, or you shouldn't.
Yeah, my only theory about that is just keeps going back to they had her queued up for the next season and wanted to keep the damage from this minimal to have her on. And then when she exploded on them and actually like hit a producer, cameraman, whatever, then that was enough. And had like, I don't know, like, I think if they decided after this incident that she was going to be done, we would have been seeing a lot more. It's just that they knew they were going to try to salvage her, which is embarrassing.
Maybe, except that they kept the Jordan thing in the show, right? So Jordan made his insensitive comments, which are totally not okay, obviously. But they kept that in the show, and there was immediate repercussions for him in the show. But the Camilla storyline obviously played a role in the story of the future of this season. And Jordan is another one of their people who I feel like, and so it's almost like, sorry, I just caught up myself off mid-thought, but I feel like they drew themselves a line where Jordan was on one side of the line for not to compare two wrongs, but Jordan was on the side of the line where they felt we can expose him for this. And Camilla, despite doing something that a lot of people would say is worse, again, not my opinion, just people, is protected and doesn't make sense to me.
That's really, really interesting. So I have a couple of thoughts, again, not well thought out, just immediate responses. The first is that I would argue it didn't actually play a role in the show for Camilla moving forward. That it's more of what you said than what she said to Leroy. Like, that it's more, She's lost her social capital in the house. She's lost like her value. Jenna, Tori, and Kayla are a really tight alliance that the guys want to go to the final with. They're getting over Camilla and Kara. And she's stuck around for, she won the first few challenges. Now she's eligible and she's going in for other reasons. And so it doesn't really have that direct of a payoff. Whereas Jordan directly, that's the only story you could tell that of why Jordan went in that night. So that's theory one. Theory two is the view of racism versus discrimination against people with special needs. Like, that's just like a societal thing. Maybe it's the current state of the country. Maybe it's like they think it's a more sensitive issue. Maybe it's because MTV is more experienced dealing with things. Maybe because it's like the FCC tells you more how to deal with racial slurs than derogatory comments towards people with special needs. So maybe it's just like they feel like it's treated differently as opposed to protecting the people. Third hypothesis is that people specific, Jordan is hateable. Jordan has made his time on The Real World and the challenges saying shitty things to people, mostly women, being a jerk, being this guy who's got this, his own personal handicap, and like lashing out rather than embracing others. And like, that's his like shtick in a way. And like, MTV has no problem showing him being a D-bag because that's the Jordan, you know. And that's something he's always struggled with. Whereas Camilla is a psycho, but she's that like lovable psycho who like freaks out about hookups and gets wasted and screams at people for no reason. But like, you don't know her to be a racist.
Right. Right. It's just when they protect Camilla like this, and we know that they have allegedly protected people in the past. I threw an allegedly there because lawyer. I feel like it recasts a lot of things. Like all those other people that disappeared under questionable circumstances, none are coming to mind, but like, were they outcasted from the show for any specific reason? And, you know, I don't know. Considering that everything is leaked out in the social media age, when you know that Camilla has done this thing that's going to be released to the whole world, you have to show it on your show, I think.
Well, tell that to Big Brother.
That's a really good point.
Which is crazy because that literally does get broadcasted.
That's a very good point.
And I agree. Like, I wish that they exposed Camilla for more. I do think they did expose Camilla while still protecting her.
Like I said earlier, it was innuendo. It was,
right,
we know what happened here, wink, wink, but we're not going to show you the worst of it because it was that bad.
And I still think there's a case to be made for, yes, while they're protecting Camilla, and I think they totally have to protect Camilla for their own financial gain of like the opportunity to still have her on the show. They also were protecting, I think, those who would be, troubled. I don't want to say triggered, troubled. There's no word I want to say, but those who Leroy, who doesn't want to relive that, Nelson, who doesn't need to relive that, and others who have dealt with incidences like this, especially in today's world. So I think part of it is maybe you don't want to have that on the show, but you're right. There's no excuse for it. At the end of the day, I think she got what was coming to her, but not from MTV.
That's totally true. And I think I just realized that I mixed up Nelson and Leroy earlier in this podcast when I was explaining who Camilla went off on. I apologize about that.
In fairness, Nelson later did take some of it also, just not on the show. So
okay.
I wasn't sure if you were just like really up on your Vevmo.
I am not. I just got them mixed up because it was 2 months ago that this happened.
Fair enough. All right. So Camilla sucks. No news there. We go to the deliberation. It is funny to me that TJ remarks that the group is so small. Like, nobody thinks that but TJ at this point.
Yeah, I mean, and this is where the imbalance in numbers is really throwing them off from Nelson getting sent home. Because, you know, they're picking, and I guess I'm jumping ahead to the double cross a little bit, but the double cross wasn't a double cross this week. It was back to that game mechanism that they used in what I think was free agents, where they just, you know, picked for safety and, you know, at the elimination. And it really messed with their game plan for this week, at least.
Yeah, I am surprised that we've let it go on this long with uneven numbers. Definitely got more exposure this week, but we couldn't have asked for a better payoff at the Double Cross, which we will get to. But first, we have to get through this kind of boring voting. Hunter makes the determination to vote in Derek based on him having been the only one to say his name. I will say it's like giving credit to Bananas for not having been able to say his name. That's where it comes, like, your best position here is to actually not have to do the dirty work, but have your alliance. Mm-hmm. You know, it's where your luck becomes unlucky. So, whatever. Derek's going in for the men. No big surprise. I think even if Bananas had said his name, Hunter probably still would have found a way to pick Derek. Bananas is he hasn't been shown that much this season. I don't particularly love him, but I do have to give him credit. He does find a way for even Hunter to think that he has a better chance of wooing Bananas than Derek.
Yeah, that's, I don't know what voodoo magic he pulled, but it worked.
It did. So then we have Jenna picking Camilla. Know why. This is where I was like, okay, the producers might be covering this up, because TJ normally pushes you for a why. He says, who are you voting in and why? Jenna says Camilla. That's it. And Hunter just says, there's nothing I'd rather do than say Kayla, but I'm going to say Camilla. No reason for sending Camilla in other than Hunter wanted to avoid a tie.
Yeah. And I have nothing more to say than I haven't already said.
But Camilla always has more to say.
She never runs out of words like I just did.
Can you explain to me why Camilla calls out Tori here?
I loved TJ's reaction to this. It's like, what does she do? That's exactly how I felt too. And it's like, Camilla starts yelling at Tori, and Camilla's like, oh, you're just mad that I exposed your game. You're a nasty woman, which, by the way, I thought had been reclaimed by women. I may not be the one to say that, but I thought nasty woman was no longer pejorative, but that's fine.
Anything coming from Camilla is extremely offensive.
That's a good point.
Whether it's a slur or a Hillary Clinton support phrase.
That's right. Oh, thank you for that context. So I don't just seem like a terrible person.
You're good.
But, you know, and Camilla's yelling at Tori, and it's like, oh, you're just mad that I exposed your game. It's like, Camilla, Tori, Jenna, and Kayla exposed their game weeks ago. You're not exposing anyone's game. Just because you just figured it out doesn't mean that never, like, they've been openly saying, like, oh, it's the three of us the entire time. So stop that.
I don't know if it's like that Camilla still thought there was a chance that Camilla, Jenna, and Kayla would work together after they got rid of Kara, but I don't understand why she didn't get the message then, except the fact that she just can't get any messages.
Yeah, it has to be that.
And then she can't even, like, again, Teflon Jenna over here, like, she directly calls you out, and somehow Tori has garnered enough influence over a veteran like Jenna to get in between your unbreakable friendship, if not for Tori.
Yeah, it's really incredible. And remember when Jenna wasn't even in the house? Like, remember that? Like, she's had this run this season that's pretty incredible, considering she was out super early.
Yeah, well, in this season, anything is possible. The points don't matter. The time doesn't matter. Challenges right. Don't matter. But yeah, this is when I was like, okay, Camilla is officially ill. Like, this is just, like, absolutely ridiculous that Tori is the reason Jenna and Kayla turned against. Even when Kayla's explaining, and Jenna are explaining to her, like, Carr is going to come back. It's going to be the four of us. You're going to go against us. Like, she still thinks it's Tori's fault. The highlight of this, the only good reason to sit through a Camilla lashing like this, is to hear Tori say point blank period, which is a callback to Arya the One, season 5, which Tori was not on. I have to believe this is a callback. It made my life.
You're the Arya the One expert here, so I'll take your word for it.
Point blank period.
That's thank you. Sorry, I missed the joke there, but you were there to pick me up.
All right, so getting to the Double Cross, skipping another Redemption House.
Can we just talk about the mini fight? Sorry.
No, please, go ahead.
When Tori is yelling, get out of my face, at Camilla from across the room, like, you can't make that stuff up. Like, that was just incredible. I'm sorry, we can move on.
No, it was ridiculous. I think it's just the point when you argue with someone like Camilla who can't hear you and just doesn't have any rational points to make, it is actually more frustrating than fighting with somebody who has like ability to fight.
It's like fighting a child who doesn't have the ability to form rational thought.
Yes, exactly. So getting to the double cross here, we have Kayla, Tori, and Brittany up. Once Brittany pulls the single cross, you know she's going in. She knows it. Everyone knows it. No big deal here.
That's exactly. Yep.
Shelby Heinmiller just wants to know, she knows Tori, Jenna, and Kayla want to be safe, but would it have been smarter for one of them to go in so Camilla's not even an option? If she wins for the next competition, aren't they screwed?
Well, but what if you lose to her? Right?
Yeah. I don't think in this format, with everything being the way it is, that you ever like put yourself in to take someone out.
Exactly. There's no upside, and you still have the numbers on her. And so you just got to do that.
The double cross of the night, the luck of the Irish of the night, was Banana pulling the single cross, setting up a Bananas v. Derek elimination to end this episode.
And that's really what we needed. I think Derek versus Tony would have been terrible. I guess Tony is one who beat Dario, who wasn't even on this season. But a Tony versus Derek Presidio would have been just not what we were here for.
Yeah, completely agree with you. I was here for TJ, I don't watch the show, Lavin saying, you guys know how to play the real world, when only one of the four people were actually on the real world of the
yeah, that was good. Oh, and also just jumping back a little bit close the thread from earlier and when we were talking. When Tori pulled the double cross and sent in Brittany, do you want to know who didn't apologize?
Please.
Kayla did not apologize to Brittany. Ooh. Oh, so she's learning. Or she just didn't do it that time. One or two.
Or it was edited out. Let's just assume she did it, didn't make
right,
air.
Right.
So Brittany totally flames out. She can't breathe. She can't get on the rope. She's going to throw up. Marshall Kistner wants to know, did Brittany just give up in the Presidio? She wasn't even sweating when the competition ended, and the editing was unusually blunt about her performance in the segment.
I'd like to see you jump on a barrel and run on it a lot of times, Marshall.
Sorry. Boom. Just kidding. Thanks for your question, Marshall.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate you. I was disappointed. I was more surprised. I didn't think Brittany had a chance here. I was more surprised that she said she wasn't prepared for a physical challenge.
She's a rookie, right? So I guess it could be a surprise to you that you're going to be doing hard things on the challenge, I guess, if you never watched the show before.
She's been in 14 episodes.
That's a good point. That's a solid point. I have nothing to say to that.
Granted, there's only an elimination every 6 episodes, but right. She's been there.
Right. This was elimination number 2 of the season, and Brittany just wasn't there for the first one, turns out.
This isn't good journalism, but I'm not a journalist. When Camilla's talking here at the end, yeah, she won. I'm just like, shut up, I want to see Tony and Derek. So I didn't pay any attention because I was so excited to see this matchup. When they show the slideshow of Derek wins, I love how this season has been really helping out the people who don't know the history, who haven't seen Derek in a while, or maybe have never seen Derek.
It was like seeing him in his glory days, still has the same hair all these years later, same exact haircut. But that was a great montage that they gave us.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Exactly.
Smart thinking from Bananas here. Less laps, the better. Bringing out better strategy than his opponents, but Bananas gasses out Derek, the enforcer, the unstoppable. This is, as he says, proof that he still got it. I think that holds true 100%. If anyone questioned if the old boys could come back like I did, I mean, this to me really shuts me up.
And it's dad strength, right? You got CT who won Invasion, and now you got Derek who's powering through this and beating Bananas. It's something about that. It's just
what's Tony's excuse?
Well, yeah, that's okay. don't want to get into that. There seems to be a little iffy there, allegedly.
Allegedly. So we have some questions to wrap up this episode. Our digital communication managers is out sick this week. I actually went to Twitter and found absolutely nothing besides the Kara tweet I mentioned before, which I didn't even pull. I just remembered it was that's how slow the Twitter game was. But a couple questions to round out the night before you have to head out and come to Ann Arbor to watch Survivor.
That's right.
With the Law School Misfits here. Andrew Shadlock says, who's having a, and this is actually my favorite question. Maybe I should start naming my favorite question of the week. this is really, it.
That seems like a rough go for you if you do that. It's like you're going to have a lot of people angry at you.
I already have that. Okay. Prepare yourself. Everyone's going to hate you. It's fine. Welcome to my world.
I won't read the comments.
Who's having a better rookie season, Tori or Brittany? If we could only have one back for another challenge, who would you choose?
It's obviously Tori, right? Tori has managed to integrate herself into the vets as a rookie. She came into this season really good friends with Jenna and Kayla, apparently. Turned her back. Like, that was her, right? That was definitely Tori. Turned her back on them and managed to get back in their good graces. And she's done something about her social game. It's strong in her. And I don't know what Brittany did all season.
Yeah, so I will say Tori had better performance, social game, challenge game. She seems to have been the first, I shouldn't say first, but one of the first that I can remember. Definitely the first. Are you the one person to come in and instantly gain acceptance through the season? The first season that he or she is on. She seems to have seamlessly integrated into the veterans, demonstrated by this, where she's actually the one to put Brittany in against her Are You the One family, and has a confessional saying that. But we got a crazy amount of camera time from Brittany. I should check it out. Will from America, or Will Simon, unclear what he wants me to call him, does a challenge confessional count. I will check that out for next week to see who's gotten more time. But I feel like we get more from Brittany than Tori. But I don't love what we get from Brittany. I definitely like it better. You know, when she issues all these like death threats in her confessionals.
That when she was giving her like, I'm so mad talk, it was terrifying. Because one, she's like irrationally angry about being sent in. Right. But also it's like very calm. She's very mellow. She's like, I'm going to send them all in. I'm going to get revenge on them and they're not going to know what hit them. And then she started like dropping S-bombs and F-bombs. And it was just like, whoa, like, you're really muted in your anger here. And to me, that's even more terrifying than like Camilla's just like yelling and flailing at you.
Yeah, no, totally agree. I'm going to go with Tori overall also in this to wrap up that question. Leah Knight says, who would you like to see get back into the challenge and why from this Redemption House?
So who do I want to get back or who do I think is coming back?
Let's call both shots.
Okay. So I think two guys are coming back. I'm calling my shot there. I think that they have to even up the numbers, and that's what they're going to do to even them up, is they're going to send two guys back in with one girl. So who I want to come back, I'm a big Jordan fan. I know it's super unpopular opinion. Even despite him being occasionally awful, I'd like to see Jordan come back, and you have to go with CT, who has way beyond his awful face. So those are the two guys I want to see come back. And from the girls, do any of them have to come back? Like, do they have to?
That's a hot take. You don't want to see anyone back for the women.
Just send them all home. They enjoy. No, Jemmy. But Jemmy's obviously not coming back, so I'm not going to waste my pick saying Jemmy.
Yeah, I will say CT and Leroy. I want Leroy because I had said I think he's going to win this season. So for my own ego, the glorification of my own massive ego, to quote Seinfeld, I will say Leroy. I think Jordan has a good chance. I think Jordan and CT are the best men in the Redemption House right now. Mm-hmm. I worry about Leroy in something like this, depending on what it will be like with a 4-on-1 or 4. I feel like he'd be better 1-on-1 than he would be with 4 guys going up. I want to see Veronica back. I want to see her get another chance. It would be pretty inconsequential.
Yeah.
Well, that says something.
Yeah, I already forgot she was there and she was in this episode.
We did see Randy Neupel, like you had asked, what's going to happen with Nelson? Are two men coming back? That is something I didn't consider. That will be very interesting. I think MTV would love it because UFCT, Leroy and Bananas and Jordan.
Yeah, it's
all eligible.
They have their murderer's row in the Redemption House right now. And they have like Derek, who's great. And then Tony and Hunter, the stars of the season. Who's going to come in second? Also, how come none of them know that they're playing for $1 million yet? Where did that
tease go? We haven't even heard that. Yeah. We were teased on a purge like 16 weeks ago and $1 million. Wait, and now that's completely absent from the next week's
purge,
on.
Then they're definitely, if we're getting another purge, then they're definitely sending two guys back in.
I might be mistaken, but they definitely said like another purge is coming.
Well, I trust you on this.
Don't trust me. I don't know. The season's all upside down. We will see next week as the story continues to not unfold or unfold. I want to thank our 5-star reviewers, Pelican Pablo, who I'm not sure if he or she just updated it because this is all like old references, but we'll take it. ARG or just ARG #1, #1. Thank you. War Wickery. Thank you. And Greg Kahn, we are at 195 5-star reviews, 5 away, and also 1500 episodes away. So we have plenty of time.
Just 25 stars.
25 stars away. You can help contribute to that at robinsthewebsite.com/challenge iTunes, where you can subscribe to this podcast, to Are You the One podcast, all of the goings on MTV. Jonathan, great job. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Where
for
can people
me.
Find you?
You can.
If follow, you want to be found.
I mean, you can follow me on Twitter at jofo322, JOFO322. I don't do things on there, but you can follow me and enjoy my silence.
That's more than I could say for a lot of people on Twitter. I'd prefer to enjoy their silence. I just froze. Whatever.
Where can we find you, Allie?
No, I was going to say our Rehap Ups, MTV Rehap Ups bump is not as great as the Rehap bump, but we will see what we could do.
Okay.
You could follow me at Lash Tweets, or you could follow me on the TV Party app at Allie Lasher. I said Allie.Lasher last week and that was wrong. So until next week, or I don't want to say that. How do I wrap this up? See ya.
Bye.